Billboard, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance floor to run on.
If you wanna run away with me, I know a galaxy and I can take you for a ride. I had a premonition that we fell into a rhythm where the music don't stop for life. Glitter in the sky, glitter in my eyes, shining just the way I like. If you're feeling like you need a little
welcome bit back, Wisconsin. And welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, folks. We've got two more sets of Brewers tickets for tomorrow's St. Louis game to give away before the end of the show. Don't go anywhere. That might keep you around, but this is the information that absolutely should keep you around. My special guest is Saru Jayaraman. She is the president and co-founder of One Fair Wage, a national organization working for a full and fair minimum wage for every person who works in America. Before the break, Saru, we mentioned, and again, you're on mute, just to be clear, we mentioned that both Vice President Harris and President Trump have proposed eliminating income taxes on tips. Certainly, as a foundational point, lowering taxes on people that have to work for a living and get paychecks, especially those that are most economically vulnerable. We should be looking at every available policy to reduce income taxes on folks like that. But this seems to me to be a bit of a distraction, like a look over here while we're not really solving the fundamental problem. Are eliminating taxes on tips a good idea?
So, first of all, I do want to say that restaurant workers are thrilled. We have 300,000 in our membership and we represent 14 million nationally. And look, this is the first time tipped workers, restaurant workers have been discussed at all in a presidential campaign. And so it is heartening to finally see the needs of these workers uplifted in poll after poll. These workers, young people, Black voters, Latinx voters has named cost of living and jobs with living wages as the absolute top most important issue for this year's election. So it's heartening that it seems like both candidate campaigns are getting that. It's unfortunate that, like you said, it's this solution because our research shows that 2/3 of tipped restaurant workers do not earn enough income to pay federal income tax. And so 2/3 of workers wouldn't even benefit from this proposal. What's clearly really needed is a raise. What's clearly really needed is for employers to be required to pay workers a full fair minimum wage with tips on top. It is only fair. Look, every other industry, every other employer has to pay the minimum wage. Yeah. Why does this one industry get to be left out? And why would this one industry get a tax break compared to every other worker? Every worker deserves a full fair minimum wage with tips on top. Now, for tips that are on top of a full minimum wage, sure, let's not tax them. But let's get everybody first and foremost to get paid by their employer a living wage that allows them to count on that wage, know that it's coming regardless of, as you said, hurricanes, blizzards, hot days, or having to show a little skin to the customer that comes in and demands it. I mean, during the pandemic, we heard from thousands of women. Yeah. I'm regularly asked, take off your mask so I can see how cute you are before I decide how much to tip you. And that was the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, tip of the iceberg, pun intended. I mean, this is, I have worked in service. I didn't work in service for very long. And even back then, I worked at a lunch and breakfast joint, which is a slog to say the very least. And I was young, I was 16. I got comments all the time and they weren't from creepy guy. It was just older gentlemen thinking they were being friendly, but I was constantly being assessed. I've heard horror stories from my friend. I had a number of friends when I lived in New York that did bottle service. I can't even tell those stories on the radio. This is such a fundamental issue. And the idea that this impacts women and women of color so acutely, I think needs to be emphasized. And I feel like the discussion of eliminating tax on tips isn't just a distraction. It's literally picking people's pocket.
That's right.
Right? Like, look over here at this bright, shiny thing while I rob you blind.
Exactly.
Because the problem is the underlying wage. There are 14 million restaurant workers in the U.S. We know that approximately 1.2 million people have left the industry. I hope that we have reached the tipping point.
I really hope so too, because can I tell you something else that's problematic with the no tax on tips? During the pandemic, two-thirds of tipped workers, including in Wisconsin, told us they couldn't get unemployment insurance because in states like Wisconsin, they were told their wages were too low to qualify for benefits. So the less taxable tips are, the less workers are going to be eligible for things like unemployment insurance and Social Security and lots of things later in life, which will affect them. And so what we need is for people to be paid an actual legitimate wage by their employer that the government will recognize when awarding benefits. And I do just want to say, Maggie, your experience is the common experience. Most people don't work in the fine dining restaurant downtown. Yeah. They work in the corner breakfast place, or like I said, the IHOP or the Denny's or the mom and pop Mexican restaurant. That's where most people work. And they struggle with the absolute highest rates of sexual harassment. And you're right, it's women and women of color. And can I add young women?
So yes.
One in two Americans and one in two women, this is the first job that they encounter. It's the first time they're exposed to the world of work, and they are asked to do all kinds of crazy things. So I've interviewed women later in life who say, you know what, I've been sexually harassed later in my career, but I did nothing about it because it was never as bad as it was when I was a young woman working in restaurants, which means this industry sets the standard for what women and men consider acceptable in the workplace, and that's unacceptable.
It truly is. Frankly, Saru, I don't even need to be here. I just need to ask you a question because you know so much about this. And I'm so appreciative of your passion and clarity about, frankly, the moral rights and wrongs here. It has always been anathema to me from the first day that I ever worked that job that this was the job that I would make less than the minimum wage. I went home many days when things were slow with barely $3 per hour. It was excruciating and damnedly hard work as well. To me, the thing that really bothers me most about all of this is I see this as a shifting towards, frankly, trying to get more and more American workers off payroll, calling them contractors or gig workers so that we can eliminate all of these sorts of benefits that we're talking about. Is this part of a pattern, Saru?
It's intentional, Maggie. What during the whole healthcare reform debate under President Obama, restaurants tried to claim tipped workers as independent contractors, saying they work for customers, not for us, in order to not have to cover them in the exchanges that were set up during Obamacare or healthcare reform. So they already think this way. They want to say we shouldn't have to pay more than $2 or $3 because you, the customer, pay them. They work for you, which is absurd and ridiculous because let's be real, who profits from the value of those workers' labor? It's not the customers. It's the employers who end up getting these workers to sell their products, their food, their service, and who ends up making the money at the end? It's the employers. It's especially the big chain restaurants that are raking.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jaru. This conversation will continue. My special guest, Saru Jayaraman, she is the president and co-founder of One Fair Wage. We could talk about this for a long time. I really appreciate your efforts. Folks, we're going to put where you can find more information in the show's blurb for today. You can find that at civicmedia.us. Again, you can check out Saru's work at One Fair Wage. You can read about their organization. It's time for a full and fair minimum wage for all. I'm Maggie Dawn. We've got another special guest coming up. It's Kristen Alfheim. She's running for State Senate District 18. You're not going to want to miss it, giving away Brewers tickets next. Here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.